It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. God bless you this morning. It's time to worship the Lord together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. It's time for prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. We thank you for your loving watch care over our lives throughout the night. And now we pray for your spirit to come and teach us this morning the things we need to know. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us to always grow in grace and wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is, it's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
I've entitled today's worship thought, How to Have a Happy Marriage, but This is 1 Peter chapter 3. It just has some happy marriage principles, and this will hopefully, title will hopefully cause some who may not normally listen to listen, because there's so many problems in the home. Let's pray. Father, bless us as we study the precious word of God. We ask that you would help us to understand it and clearly exemplify it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And vice versa, it lets us know that which we do is not understood by the world. So you have to have a change of mind in order to really understand. But what will happen is you will have happiness in the home. And not even in the home, the church is a home. Happiness in the church, brothers and sisters, following these principles. It begins by saying, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, this is very interesting because very seldom does God begin. And actually, let me see. I'm just going to go back to the previous chapter. Yes, very seldom does God begin by giving counsel to women. God usually, this is one of the rare exceptions, God usually begins giving counsel to the men. When Adam and Eve, even though Eve was the first and Eve was the one who interacted with the snake, God began by talking to Adam. As a matter of fact, the Bible will tell us that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. So Adam had actually the greater responsibility because he knew better, okay? Whereas not that Eve didn't know better, but being emotional as she was, a little more easy to deceive, that's what Satan often does. And he will often work through the wife because she has so much influence over the husband. So this is what God is telling us, because there must be order. See, the reason why I believe that he approaches the wife first, because God usually goes to the man to make sure he's right because he leads the family. But in this situation, think about all this gender confusion that we have today, confusion in the church with women feeling like, oh, I got to be the pastor, I've got to be the elder. You're not a husband. That's not the role that God has set. It doesn't mean that God doesn't speak through women and to women to give even messages. Okay, there were prophetesses in the Bible. But the point being made, we've gone over that. The point is that in order for a marriage to work, God order must be set forth first, okay? So he's telling the wives that you're to be in subjection to your own husbands. You know, we have marriages where women will not respect their husbands, but you know, they have a lot of respect for their boss, maybe because they want a promotion. Maybe they, watch this. Now, they have a lot of respect for the pastor and are always talking to their husbands about how awesome the pastor is, but they don't show respect to their own husband. And so, my brothers and sisters, God is trying to tell you, that's why it says your own husband. This being a subjection is a position of respect. Let me tell you something that will help you, brothers and sisters. God made men to appreciate respect. Now, I didn't say worship, like you're supposed to be worshiped and bow down to or anything like that. But God made men to, when a man is a man of God, he appreciates the respect that God would want the wife to give to the husband. That's how he thrives. He thrives on that. And when he's godly, it makes him a better husband, ladies, okay? So be in subjection to your husband. own husband, show respect to your husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That means even when you have one, a husband, that is not following God, my friends, because they see your godliness. And what do they see? They see the conversation of the wives. You know, they're not looking at a wife that puts her hands on her hips and saying, yeah, you, who you talking to? What you doing? Who do that? Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's not what they're seeing. That's not respectful, okay? While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Chaste means pure. Pure conversation with respect. Fear means respect in this context. You're not afraid of your husband, and that's a problem in a lot of marriages. Some men, instead of understanding that they are the leaders, they think they have to be the mob boss and to wield, if I can use that term, their authority with some type of fear-mongering and cause the wife to be afraid of her. That does not bring a happy home to have a woman afraid of you, brothers and sisters. It doesn't, you know, and men sometimes do it in different ways. And watch this. we're so messed up today. Sometimes the men are afraid of the women. Brothers and sisters, if you have a temper, you're throwing pots and pans and holding up knives and rubbing guns to send a message, you better stop all that foolishness because God is not with you. And you don't want to be without God, friends. He will take you. God will allow you to be taken out. Okay? So fear. In other words, when it talks about fearing God, that is a respect. Okay? It is a love and respect of God. It's not being afraid of God. It's the Roman Catholic Church that teaches we shouldn't be afraid of God. Brothers and sisters, a God that would burn you forever in hell, that came from Roman Catholicism, and it has been adopted by the Sunday churches of the day, maybe some Sabbath-keeping churches too, I don't know. But the bottom line is we are not supposed to be afraid of God. We are to love and respect him like a friend, but he is so much greater. He just did so much for you. He's the creator of the world, so we approach him with honor and respect, brothers and sisters. And this goes into even how we come into his presence. There's a song that used to be sung. It says, the Lord, it's Habakkuk 2:20. You just don't hear it anymore in churches. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You see, you know, we go into church and we're just dancing and clapping. You go to some place you respect like the White House, or maybe you don't respect the White House. Maybe some other place where you go where there's some dignitary and you're just going to be quiet. If there's somebody that you just awesomely respect, you get invited to their home, you're not going to walk in that person's home, that dignitary's home, just dancing and clapping and all this kind of stuff. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing? This is the sovereign God. We're not supposed to do that. That came from worldliness, friends. I'll tell you where it came from. Roman Catholicism. I keep going back to that because the Bible tells us that is a key player. And we get a lot of our false doctrines, Sunday worship, the immortality of the soul, meaning that when you die, you don't go straight. When you die, you go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. Or the Catholic Church even adds one that the Bible doesn't even mention, which is purgatory. You don't go straight to heaven. You don't go straight to hell. That is not in the Bible, my friends. That was made up by Roman Catholicism because if you can go to heaven right away, you go to hell right away. So they could say when you're not following the church, you're burning in hell. And that's what they would do. They would burn people at the stake saying we're going to give you your entrance into hellfire because you didn't obey the Pope. And they scared people into obedience. But you see, there's something stronger than fear. It's called love, my friends. And when Protestants got the Bible, they weren't afraid of dying. They would go and let stakes singing, my friends, and it would and eventually people were like, whoa, they're singing while they're burning, and it would cause every drop of blood would be seed, meaning that one would die and 10 would join the church. Then they kill 10 and 100 would join the church. They kill 100, then 1,000 would join the church. Because they said, if they're not afraid, I want a spirit. I want a God like that. I want to serve a God like that. I want that peace that I see on their heart. I want to see that glow on my heart, on my life, on my face that I see on their face and so faces. And so my brothers and sisters, that's what it was. So then the Roman Catholic Church said, okay, well, we better hold off then. And so the devil stopped persecuting and joined the church, okay? And then people began to be deceived. They stopped some of the persecuting and just started wooing people with these false doctrines and offers of funds. And, you know, if you go along to get along, you'll have more money and just different things that they did to compromise. It's called a creeping compromise. That's what happened, my friend. So while they behold your chaste conversation, we should be careful what we talk about, brothers and sisters. But this is talking about the sisters because you can win over your husband with holy conversation. Now, watch this, brothers and sisters. The Bible is very clear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, let's explain that. Apparel is clothing. Are we supposed to go naked? No. Plaiting is braiding. Does that mean there can't be a braid in your hair? I'm going to tell you what I understand. From my understanding, they would braid things in the hair that would show more bling bling. In other words, you know, gold and silver, they would braid that into the hair. That is what I understand. I am not your judge or your ruler, so you let the Spirit of the Lord lead you. But that is my understanding of what God is prohibiting here. Now, let me explain something to you, brothers and sisters. You will have parables in the Bible of the rich man, I'm sorry, of the prodigal son. And when the father, when he came back, the father put a ring on his finger. You will see times in the Bible where people of God had jewelry. But I will tell you this, every time they put it on themselves, God had to take it off. You'll see when they did the golden calf, God took away jewelry. There were other times where God told them to give up their earrings and rings and nose bracelets and so on and so forth and necklaces and all of that. So God knows and has proven that we can't handle anything but the hidden man of the heart. We like to shine on the outside, and God wants us to shine from the inside. So at this point in our walk, until we get a crown of gold, which you can call that a piece of jewelry, God has told us that until the new earth, we aren't supposed to wear jewelry. Okay, it's just that simple. This is not the only verse in the Bible, even in the New Testament, that says that. But it tells us that as the New Testament came along, God said, okay, I need to make sure that my people are ready and they need to shine from within and they tend to want to shine without. That doesn't mean we can't look nice and appropriate, but you don't need to have jewelry on to do that, brothers and sisters. For that matter, you don't have to have makeup on. If you go, and I'm not saying, okay, you can't put something that, you know, that you just have to walk out right after washing your face and you can't put anything on your face. I'm talking about colorful cosmetics is what I'm talking about. If you go back, brothers and sisters, you will see that when Jezebel when Jezebel knew that she better seduce Jehu or she's going to die, thank God for Jehu, it said that she went into her bedroom or whatever it was and painted her face. Brothers and sisters, that painting of the face, that was done by the heathen people. And what happens is that it takes away from the hidden man of the heart. We just want to look so great on the outside and not on the inside. Again, brothers and sisters, God is balanced. I am not here to be anybody's judge. I just know that there is a certain, I do know that if it looks like paint, okay, somebody can tell when your lips just aren't that red, okay, and your eyes and eyebrows aren't blue and green, okay? So I think you get the picture, you know. So if there is something foundationally that you put on your body, I'm not here to argue that point. My point is I do know that it doesn't look, that which looks like paint, okay? The painting the face, the red lips and the eyes painted different colors and all this kind of stuff, brothers and sisters. That's not talked about here, but that just kind of goes along with it. The Bible mentions that in other places, but here we're talking about jewelry. And we are going to have jewelry in heaven in the sense that we know we're going to get a crown of gold. The Bible says it, but it would appear that in preparation for heaven, God is telling us that we should not wear jewelry. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. So the context would obviously be expensive, flashy clothing, okay? Because it's like an adorning, not just covering you and being appropriate and nice. It's something that's flashy. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, the context is still talking to the wife, and I'm here to tell you. Now, there are crazy men out there, but still, a meek and quiet spirit. That should exemplify a Christian woman, a meek and quiet spirit. What is meekness? Meekness is patience, even when there's wrongdoing, okay? So you might be snapped at, you might be talked down to a little bit, and there's a way to handle that. You can go and talk to your husband, and you can still tell your husband that you don't believe he was right in how he talked to you. But if you snap back, brothers and sisters, it's not good. Now, I'm not in any way justifying the husband. We're going to get to him in a minute, okay? But the Bible is telling wives how to be good wives, okay? So we have to just go over it, okay? Be meek, be quiet, have a quiet spirit, okay? Not a spirit that just all up in your face type of a spirit where you're going to try to flex your muscles in front of your husband, so to speak, and let him know who's the boss. That's not for a happy marriage, friend. Sometimes we do things. Women do things, and they know what to do to pull purse strings. They know what to do, what not to do to try to control their husbands. Well, we do things or refuse to do things that are appropriate, okay, and godly just to control our husbands. That does not make for a healthy marriage, brothers and sisters. That actually leads to an unhealthy and unhappy marriage. All right. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, a lot of women would have a problem with that word, obey. Abraham was not out here just barking orders and yelling and screaming at his wife, and she was like an obedient slave. That's not how it was. But let me explain something. When, this is deep. Everybody wake up. Wake up, everybody. Wake up. Before sin, there was no head of the house. Because God made the human mind to be in his image. And in his image, you thought like God. There was no need for Adam to be head of the wife. That headship came as a result of sin. When there is sin, we do not automatically have the mind of God, and we must search for it, seek for it, pray for it, both husband and wife. So in a situation like that, somebody has to have the last word. Okay? Now, in heaven, brothers and sisters, the Father and the Son are in total agreement. Though the Father is the head and the Son is under him in the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit represents Christ, so he's the third person of the Godhead, there is still honor and respect. There is a role. There is a order in heaven. The Father is the supreme one. But guess what? Jesus asked when he was on this earth, when his humanity was burdened down with the weight of sin and he was in pain, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. That's because he was in humanity. But because he loved his Father, he said, but not my will, but thine be done. I know I'm encumbered by all this humanity now, so I may be not thinking quite right. Whatever is your will. And that's where we are today, friends. We should say, whatever is your will, that be done. All right? So when it says Sarah obeyed Abraham, I wanted to explain that because of sin, there is no longer the automatic being on the same page concept, okay? Always strive to be on the same page, okay? Always strive. And, you know, I'll tell you, we're not your perfect example, but by the grace of God, my wife and I, we discuss things, we talk about things, and I hear her perspective on things, and I try, and she tries, to see if we can't come up with a compromise that doesn't compromise principles, but that works. What's important to you, honey? And when I find out what's important to her, then whatever is important to me, okay, well, maybe what's important to her is more important than what's important to me. And then I say, okay, no problem. We can handle that. We'll do that way. But if there's something that I happen to know and happen to understand that I can't budge on, then I say, well, I can't budge on this, but I can truly budge on that. And if I can't budge on anything, I'll let her know why. And then as a godly wife, if I didn't ask her to sin, she submits to that. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. Very seldom, when you have two people who have prayed, they study the same books, okay, which is the Bible primarily, and believe the same principles, it is a rare occasion where a man has to full rank, as they might say. You try to do things together, and we hear each other's perspective, brothers and sisters. And so there's a lot of men. We're going to get to the men in a minute, like I said, but the bottom line is we don't understand what it really is to be a husband and or a wife. But the position and role of the wife in the pecking order, she is to be in subjection to her husband, and if asked to do something, she should do it. That's all it meant by obey. Now, not to sin or anything like that, and men aren't supposed to be just barking orders. We're going to learn what a man does in just a moment. But when it comes down to it, the man should have the last word when there is no principle violated, okay? And that's because somebody has to be in charge, because we don't automatically have the mind of Christ the way Adam and Eve did before sin. So once they sinned, God had to put Adam in charge. Now, the Bible tells us why. It was because Eve was deceived. Now, as we understand and have gone 6,000 years, we do understand the softness of a woman. And when I say softness, I'm not talking about just physical softness, but her emotions are softer. And it actually balances out the family. It's better for the children. It's better for her to be like the main person that's raising and dealing with them. Not that the man is an absentee, but he has more of the sterner virtues. He's supposed to do them in love, but the mother just has that natural nurturing, you see? So what that is that is an emotional, some of those are emotional blessings, okay, that a woman has. She has greater emotional blessings for the family, for the children. And so because of that emotion, however, sometimes even the wife may not think as logically. Men aren't generally as emotional, so we can think more logically, and sometimes you need that. And therefore, the more logical thinker, God said, okay, Eve was deceived. Her emotions got the best of her. Adam was not deceived. As a matter of fact, he ate because he loved his wife, but that love was not the purest love, because the purest love will honor God first. He just couldn't imagine life without her. See, I'll just die with her. Now, that's exemplary in a sense that he loved her so much, but we aren't to love somebody and sin with them, okay? So the point being made is he made a logical decision, which was wrong, but it was logical. She was emotional. God says, okay, because she was deceived, I'm going to choose Adam to be the head of his house. But I want you all to know the only reason why he's the head of the house was because she let out in sin through emotional responses to the snake, okay? That means if the roles were reversed, the woman would have been the head of the house. Now, wrap your mind around that, okay? But the Bible tells us clearly because she was deceived and Adam was not deceived, that's why he was chosen as the head. It's not in this chapter, but I could find that for you at a later time. Likewise, verse 7, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know, some men are ripping and running. They're always in the streets. Be home, brothers. Dwell with them. You need to be in their presence, and they need to see you. They need your emotional support. Sometimes it's not always that you have to talk, but they know you came just to be around them. And sometimes you're just silent, but you're just in their presence. Dwell with them according to knowledge, because the Bible says this is sometimes it's not always because you feel like it. It's just because you know it's best according to knowledge, not according to feeling, in other words, but according to knowledge. And so you should have some family times, brothers and sisters, and particularly brothers, that you just cut stuff off and say, oh, okay, this is our family time, and be there for your wife and your family if you have children as well, so they understand, oh, daddy's home, or husband's with me now, okay? It doesn't always mean you have to do something, although you should have family worship in the evening time and the morning time. So in our home, this is our morning worship. We worship together because of the worship and wellness broadcast and our schedules. But the bottom line is in the evening, just my wife and I get together and we do have worship. What do? We pray. We probably could do it more. Sometimes we'll sing, but then we'll either have some reading, whether it's in the Word of God, Spirit of Prophecy, something inspirational. And if we are led to, we'll talk about it, give what we learned from it, give a testimony about what God has done, how the day went, or whatever the case might be. But keep it as worship. Now, don't start complaining. That's not the time to dishonor God by telling your wife or your husband some grievance that you have. That's God's time. Worship him in that time, brothers and sisters. Keep everything in its proper time. And then we have closing prayer. It doesn't always last long, but we worship God together every day. All right. So as we read on, and so it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. So let's talk about the women now. Women thrive when they are shown honor by their husbands as the weaker vessel. Men thrive, remember, when they're shown respect. A man who is the head, when he lifts up his wife, that makes her feel special. She is given honor as unto the weaker, as a weaker vessel. So what does that mean? Well, you understand that, okay, you have physical strength that is superior. You're giving her honor. Honey, let me carry that for you because that's a little heavier than you need. Sometimes it's emotional because, you know, let me handle this because that's going to be a little challenging. So I'll just handle this problem for my wife because it's something that could drain her emotions. So whatever the weakness is, you, as men, we come and we give honor to her and not allow that weakness to get the best of her. And that weakness can be just physical strength. So we help her. We help them, I should say. We, them. I help my wife, okay? And whatever, study each other's happiness. Let me tell you something. Three questions will solve every marriage problem. Three questions. If you answer the question properly, and you ask God for help. When you wake up in the morning, the first question should be, Lord, what would you have me to do for you? Husband and wife, ask that question. The next question, Lord, how can I please my husband? And the wife, how can I please my wife? Wife, how can I please my husband? You're asking God these questions, okay? And sometimes God might impress you. Ask him. Ask her. there anything I can do for you today, honey? Is everything all right, honey? You know, my wife did something special. It was a little cool in the room, and she just came and put a robe on top of the covers on top of me. Brothers and sisters, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, that's love. Well, it was something simple, putting a robe on top of me, but it was nice, a little extra, because, you know, this is crazy weather. You know, it was 80 degrees, and then it turned to 40, and, you know, so we don't know, okay, we're going to open the window and not open the window or whatever, or not open it as much, what the temperature of the thermostat's on. And so, you know, that was special. We need to do little special things for our spouses, brothers and sisters, and it will make for a happy marriage. So husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto them as unto the weaker vessel. You recognize that she's not as strong as you in certain areas, and so you pick up the pieces because God has made us stronger as a general rule in certain areas. Now, we sometimes think we're stronger in every area. No, God gave you a wife because there are some things that you're weak in that she's strong in, okay? And you need to step aside and let, there's nothing about having more testosterone that means you're more intelligent. That does not mean that you're more intelligent. Doesn't even mean you have more skills, okay? And so we have to be humble and not proud and say, okay, wait a minute, these are your high points or this is your skill set. Why don't you handle this in the family? And then this is my skill set. I'll handle that. Now, there are certain things that are just roles in the family, brothers and sisters. As a general rule, the woman should prepare healthy food for the family. As a general rule, the man should do the more things that cause more heavy lifting, a lot of the outside heavy lifting work. But both work outside. And I'll tell you right now, the green thumb in the family is not me. It's my wife. She's got the green thumb. But I am there by the grace of God whenever there's something that needs to be held up, lifted, whatever, and we work together. So that's just, we're not your examples. We're not saying we do it perfectly. I'm just giving examples in our home that might help you understand what is being said here. So you have to give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. That means you understand we do this thing together. This is a man. He has to understand we're in this thing together and we're going to heaven together. So you bring the family together, my brothers, that your prayers be not hindered. If you don't act this way, if you don't do these things right, men, God can't hear our prayers. Then it brings the family to the church. So that third question is, Lord, how can we as husband and wife be a blessing to others? Now, if you have children, you can throw in another question in your morning. Lord, how do I... what can I do to please you? What can I do to please my husband? How do we help raise the children today? And how can our family be a blessing to society? God puts families together to be a blessing to society, brothers and sisters. You're not here just to bless yourself. That's not why you're here. That's not why God sets up families. He does it so that you can be a unit that the world can see is following God, and as an example, you reach the world with the gospel, okay? So now God is telling the church family, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, that means full of pity, and be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. You find that somebody went off on you, whether it's in the home or in the church, you don't go back off on them, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you are therefore thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. It's all about, a lot of it's in that tongue, brothers and sisters. Let him eschew evil, that means hate evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Friends, let me tell you something. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you'll see the crazy things that people do in the world. You'll see that fame and fortune does not bring holiness and happiness, okay? It just doesn't. It doesn't. And most of these people are unhappy. That's why they've got to keep making more money and impressing and all this kind of stuff. And when you just listen to some of the lyrics of these worldly songs and stuff, they're not telling you to be faithful to your husband and your wife. We shouldn't even listen to that foolishness, brothers and sisters, but we honor them. We, they, we, ah, you know, they're stars and and all that. I don't listen to that craziness. You're singing for the devil. You're singing for the devil. Some of them know they're singing for the devil. We should not give honor to that, listen to that, and be a part of that at all. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Friends, I want God's face to be toward me, not against me. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So my brothers and sisters, there will come persecution. God tells us not to be afraid of it, and we will be happy if we suffer for righteousness' sake. So if you suffer, just make sure it's for righteousness' sake, not because, I'm suffering because they made me lose my job. Were you on time to work? No, maybe half the time. You Christians should be the best at what they do just because you serve God and you represent him. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prison. This is one of those verses that is used to talk about people in hell. Christ is not preaching to people in hell. Watch this. I'll start in verse 18 again. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. When, that tells us when, the time frame, once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. This is not the spirits in prison or people who have not followed God. They were preached to, given an opportunity, a final opportunity to get their lives right. And we have converted this into some hellfire, dead people in hellfire. There's no good reason why Christ would preach to people already in hell. You never go from hell to heaven, brothers and sisters. It's not in the Bible. When you are finally chosen to be, which the Bible says, the hell fire in Matthew 25 is made for the devil and his angels. It's not burning yet. How do we know? Because the devil's bothering us. So he's not over there burning. And so neither is Hitler burning. Neither is Mussolini burning. Neither is King Saul, evil King Saul burning. Neither is Pharaoh burning. They're not burning. God is not a God who tortures you forever. Even the devil has not done enough evil to burn forever. He's going to burn. He's going to burn longer and hotter than anybody else, but he hasn't done enough evil to burn forever. He's going to burn for every sin he's committed, and then he'll be consumed. Okay? I don't want to be in a heaven where I can look over the banister and see people burning in hell. That's not happiness, brothers and sisters. And God is not a God of torture. He will punish, but the wages of sin is death. It did not say the wages of sin is eternal life where it's just hot. If you live forever in hell, that's eternal life. It's just hot. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. People are teaching error in these churches, brothers and sisters, when they tell you you're going to go to heaven or hell, and they're talking about burning forever. Hellfire is not here yet. You do not go straight to heaven when you die. You do not go straight to hell when you die. The Bible said it is not for you. I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 real quickly so I can get that right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, talking about those who died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That even so means that whatever happens to Jesus will happen to us. Jesus went into the grave, and then he came back resurrected. We are going in the grave. We're going to come back resurrected. When Christ was resurrected and Mary came to him, he said, touch me not. Why? Because I have not yet ascended to heaven. So when he died, he did not go straight to heaven. Therefore, when we die, even so, them also would sleep. When he comes again, he picks up, he brings the dead to life and the righteous dead anyway, and they go back to heaven with him. There is not life after death, immediately after death, friends. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Prevent them from what? From going to heaven. Well, if they were already in heaven, why would the Bible say we would prevent them? But that we're not going to prevent them because they're not in heaven. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why does it say they rise first? Because the unrighteous dead still sleep. Okay? They don't wake up. They wake up 1,000 years too late, according to Revelation 20, after their sentence has been determined by the righteous, which takes 1,000 years. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who is the them? The dead who've been resurrected in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It does not make sense. If I'm already with the Lord and I'm in bliss and having my harp and I'm with God, I've got to go down to a dirty casket and with all the worms and all that and then be resurrected out of the dirt and then brought back. It doesn't even make sense. Friends, again, a lot of lies were told. The Roman Catholic Church did that. They brought that in. Protestants, unfortunately, bought into that, and God is trying to teach his people the truth now. So when it says Christ preached to the spirits in prison, it was during the time of Noah while he was making the ark that God, through the voice of Noah, Christ through the voice of Noah, was preaching to the people, give up sin, repent, and only 8 were saved. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. It's been a wonderful lesson, brothers and sisters. We're going to go right into wellness after prayer just because of the time. Father in heaven, help us to have happy homes. Help us as wives to be in subjection to our own husband. Help us as husbands to honor our wives as the weaker vessel. Help us as families to go out and do all we can to be in service to humanity. Help us to not adorn ourselves with the outward adorning, but that which shines from within. Help us to have godly conversation and also to understand the truth regarding death and heaven and hell. Help us, Lord, to grow in our walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about diabetes, my friends. Diabetes is a condition wherein the sugar that is broken down, or the foods broken down into sugars, that sugar, which is called glucose, is hindered from getting into the bloodstream. Why is it hindered from getting into the bloodstream? Because we have so much fat and toxins in our bodies that it blocks the insulin, which carries the sugar into the cell. It blocks it from getting in. So most diabetes is not insulin insufficiency. Most diabetes is due to insulin resistance. So you've got to stop the insulin from being resistant. How do we do that? Well, we eat a plant-based diet, lots of fruits and vegetables. However, if you are diabetic, you might not be able. There are some times, brothers and sisters, where a person may need to back off on fruits, and sometimes you should just eat vegetable meals for a while, but lots of raw salads and then other vegetables, and then eat more beans and seeds and things of this nature. But we have learned that if you take a small amount of grain, approximately a fourth of a cup of cooked grain, and mix it with 1 cup of a cooked bean, and you eat that twice a day, it will help regulate your sugar, my friends. And yes, we have herbs for diabetes. It's the Diabetes Easy. Go to our website, torso.org. That can help you. But you've got to do some lifestyle changes. We need to get out and exercise. That breaks through. That helps reverse insulin resistance. Drinking water helps reverse insulin resistance. Going to bed on time helps reverse insulin resistance. Trusting in God where you're not stressed out helps to reverse insulin resistance. So don't be a couch potato. Get out and exercise. Drink plenty of water. Eat a plant-based diet. Get rid of the dairy, friends, and meat products. That's what clogs the cells. Stop eating all the white sugar and other things. And when you eat whole foods, you will find that your diabetes most likely will come under control. As a matter of fact, you need to make sure that you may need to keep a cracker with you or something like that, because when you start doing these things, it's going to start dropping. And if you've been taking medication, then you might drop too low. But when that happens, you say, okay, well, I better not make that change. I dropped too low. No, that means that you probably don't need as much medication. Now, I have no jurisdiction over medication. I'm not saying you can't do that on your own. Some people like to get their doctor involved. Doc, my blood sugar's been running really, really low, so on and so forth. I think I might need to lessen the medication, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But the point being made is relates to your med. But the point being made is insulin resistance is the main problem. And if we would follow the live free lifestyle, that's love God, include temperance, that means you're not drinking, smoking, doing anything in excess. Vital water, eat healthy, fresh, and that's a plant-based diet. Drinking half your body weight in ounces, that means if I weigh 150 pounds, I drink 75 ounces of water between meals, not with my meal. Give yourself at least half an hour before and after that meal. Some people need an hour. And then you go to the free and live free. That's fresh air. That's rest. Get to bed by 9:30. Exercise every day or at least five times a week. Get some vigorous exercise and then enjoy sunlight for that vitamin D and melatonin, my friends. And so that's the live free lifestyle, friends, and that's why that's what helps us overcome insulin resistance. Most diabetes is not insulin insufficiency. Most of it is insulin resistance. That's because of toxins and fat. And when you meet, what you need to do is cleanse the body. Here at Torso, we do put diabetics on a juice fast, and that helps to flush out a lot of that in a short period of time so that when they start eating that they can have a jump start and in reviving the connection between the insulin and the insulin receptors on the cell. All right, friends, so diabetes can be overcome. You can go to our website and check out the Diabetes EZ herbal extract to give you some nutrition that will help you. Also, check out our Super Tonic. That's a good one also for that. All right, my friends, it's time now to do roll call. We have our dear brother Peyton, God bless you, brother, from North Carolina, on, and he has some nice things to say to us. Happy Tuesday to you as well, brother. That's North Carolina on Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. And we have Missouri. God bless each one of you. Phone lines are open. Press star 6 if you would like to share anything. We have 6 minutes to the top of the hour. That's plenty of time if anyone has a comment or question. All right, we've got Sister Lenny on the call. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm requesting special prayer for schools and colleges and students, teachers, parents. It's just been really on my mind yesterday. I've been really praying for these schools and everything. My grandson and granddaughter I have in college, and I'm just asking for protection over everybody, and that God would really, really protect everyone with these shootings and everything, and help them to understand the things that they should be doing and not doing. So I'm just requesting special prayer for that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. All right, my brothers and sisters, is there anyone else that would like to share anything at this time? All right, we've got Sister Leilani. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Yes, I'm going to be flying to Alaska today, and I would like prayer. And I have a question. I have usually been, when I fly, I usually fast and just water fast. And I just was wondering if that was a good idea.
Yes, ma'am. For how long are you talking about when you water fast? Just curious.
Well, the flight to Alaska is going to take me, let's see, about 6 hours, 6 or 7 hours flying time, and I have a 3-hour layover in Denver.
Oh, okay. So you're just talking about water fasting for the day?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yes, water fasting is a wonderful fast, and we use it sometimes as a remedy, even for a few days. You know, we use it, it's a little harder than a juice fast to some people when you do it day after day after day. And depending on how many days, some people may need even a little supervision. You know, blood sugar can drop a little faster and that kind of thing. But if you know your body and you do water fasting, that's great. Fasting one day a week, even if you skip one meal, and just drink water, that's wonderful. So, yes, water fasting is a wonderful fast.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, I wasn't sure I sent an email to you, so that email has been sent. So check your email and definitely check your junk folder.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
God bless you. Thank you. All right, friends, God is good. It is 3 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll go ahead and turn it over to my lovely wife, Undreamed Of, to close up.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your counsel, Lord, and we pray that we can meditate on it and ask your Spirit to help us to be able to do the things that you are requiring us to do, Father, so we can have successful marriages, successful relationships one to another. We ask that you will be with our dear sister as she travels to Alaska. She's asking for traveling mercies. We ask that you will grant that in accordance with your perfect will. We pray for those schools and young people, youth, the ones that are in college, the ones that are still going to school. We know that there are great, great peer pressure. We know that there's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of mass shootings that have taken place. Pray for the faculty members of these universities and schools. And we just ask, Lord, that you will work all these things out. We know that education was meant to be taught at home, as you have required us to do. And we know that there are those that do have to go to a physical school and be taught education because they're not afforded those opportunities to learn from their homes. And we just ask, Lord, for their protection. We pray that you will bless every heart in a special way, continue to give us healing, spiritually, mentally, physical. And we ask that you will bless us in a way that we can continue to draw close to you. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. The Lord, I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord.